audience today.
That's right. Hey, folks, Dr. Barry here with my good friend, Anthony J., PhD, author of Estrogeneration and leading world authority on all things plastic, phthalates, BPA, BPS, etc. I'm excited to this before, but I love that you're back in Tennessee. He's here doing some turkey hunting and with his beautiful daughter. And so I said, hey, let's do a live and let's talk about plastics, because you guys may have just seen the news article that they've just detected, microplastics in someone's bloodstream. So this is a big deal. And people are like, well, I mean, you know, we're surrounded by plastic. The government wouldn't let that happen if it were safe, right?
Well, it goes back to BPA, right? The history of BPA is in the 1920s, they studied it as a birth control. So everybody's aware that it acts like estrogen. And that's what my book is about. It's about these plastic chemicals acting like estrogen. So people were aware, even in the 1920s, 1930s, especially the 1940s, BPA, which is, of course, a main ingredient in a lot of plastics, acts like estrogen in your body. But then they assured us, all the scientists said, oh, look at this. We can make this into plastic, but it doesn't leach. That's what they would say to people. They said, look, it's okay. It doesn't leach. And that worked for a long time until they started actually measuring it, of course, right? They don't do the studies for a lot of 20, 30, 40 years. And then they finally do the studies. Guess what? Oh, it leaches. And then what do? Well, they turn around and say, it leaches, yes, but it's safe levels. And then as they study what is a safe level, they say, oh my gosh, maybe it's not so safe.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly right. And the one thing that really worries me is that a lot of baby bottles now, because, you know, we're in the market for some baby bottles currently, and they all of them say BPA-free. BPA-free, the little plastic dishes, the plastic little utensils, BPA-free, like plastered.
Yeah, and so people think it's safe.
But I've read Dr. J's book, and so I know that basically, and BPA has not been outlawed the way I understand it. Nope. Basically, there was such a public outcry, thanks in large part to books like Dr. J's, that people just said, look, I don't want BPA. And so the corporations preemptively removed the BPA. But obviously the bottle is still plastic. The little utensil is still plastic. The toys are still plastic. So it's still plastic. So tell us the sleight of hand. What did they do? How is it still plastic, but they took the BPA out?
Yeah, so there's two strategies. One of them is to use phthalates, which are literally in these microplastics that they're finding in the bloodstream on these news articles you're seeing. The other strategy is to, instead of using bisphenol A, BPA, they use bisphenol S or F. Or AF, they have this whole alphabet of chemicals they can do, which are alternatives to BPA, but they're not actually BPA. So they can say BPA-free. And of course, we've studied those. Scientists have actually studied those alternates, those analogs, they call them. They're just as bad as BPA. They act just as much as estrogen in your body as BPA. And just to turn it back to the kids, they've done children's studies on urinary BPA levels. Just measuring their urine, how much BPA is in there, and they find an increased incidence of depression when BPA levels are higher in children. And children don't have a mortgage. You know what I mean? They shouldn't
be depressed. Right, yeah.
And so there's a lot of mental issues when you start messing up hormones, sure. Children and adults.
Sure.
I mean, fertility issues. There's a whole host of issues.
Any physician who does anything with hormones at all know that your mental health is intimately connected with your hormone levels.
Yeah.
And if your hormone levels are optimal, your mental health is better. But if you've got these chemical toxins that are leaching into your system, affecting your hormone levels, that's going to lead to a degradation of physical and mental health. I mean, that just has to. So you're saying if a young parent sees a plastic toy or whatever that says BPA free, you're telling us that that's subterfuge.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you want silicone is okay. So if it is silicone, it says BPA free and it's silicone, or if it's BPA free and it's glass or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's just plastic that's BPA free, I mean, obviously you're going to have some plastic in your life. You're never going to be able to fully eliminate your house of plastics. You know, don't feel guilty that you have a little plastic, but minimize it. If it's something really obvious, like, oh, I can get a stainless steel baby bottle
Yep.
Or a plastic one, we'll go with the stainless steel. It lasts longer. It's less waste in the environment.
Then all baggage bottles were glass in our glass. And now at the end of this video, we're gonna really break it down into some simple strategies that you can, because I know there's a few of you guys right now that are saying, oh my God, my house is full of plastic. Where do I start? We're going to give you the step one, step two, step three at the end of this video, so that as soon as this video is over, you can go into your kitchen and you'll know exactly what to put in the yard sale and exactly what to get on eBay and buy the replacement version, either in stainless steel, copper, glass, or silicone, and get rid of the plastic in certain situations. Now, I've got a question. It's my current belief, and I could be wrong, but it's my current belief that if you can use plastic as long as your uses of it are at room temperature or lower, because all plastics, a lot of people don't know this, they're all made from petroleum. They literally are made of oil, from oil. That's how you make plastic, right? And so they get the derivatives and they use them to make plastic. And so they're volatile. Right? They're hydrocarbons. That's what they are. And so the lower the temperature, the less volatile the hydrocarbon is. That's the way I'm thinking about this is, am I right? Or am I deluding myself?
Well, you're right for sure. So there's three different properties for leaching into plastics. One of them is heat. So if you're heating something up, you're moving molecules faster. It's like steam coming off of a boiling pot of water.
So Tupperware in the microwave.
Heating up. You don't want to be heating up plastics with liquids.
Hot coffee in a plastic mug.
Yeah.
Those are absolute no-nos.
Yeah. Don't cheat on that stuff. I mean, sure. Maybe once you're at the airport, right? Like, and by the way, those airport cups, those little paper cups.
Yeah.
Those are plastic, right? Have you seen the video, Ken, where they have that Coca-Cola, like aluminum can, and they put it in acid that dissolves the aluminum?
And the plastic is left.
The plastic liner is left. Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize. You think, no, this is a metal can. No, it's lined with plastic.
Exactly.
And it may be BPA-free, but it's not phthalate-free, and it's not BPS-free.
Exactly. So be aware there's a lot more plastic in a lot of people's environments. And so, yeah, again, don't get hypochondriac about once in a while you're at the airport, you got to have a coffee or something. But in your house, you shouldn't be heating up liquids in plastic. Don't cheat. Don't do it. It's not worth it because heat increases the transfer of those plastics.
So using plastics in the freezer
is fine.
It's probably fine, right?
Dry foods.
It's fine. In the fridge is fine. That's what plastic's for. So if you've got your Tupperware set that you saved up and bought, you don't have to throw it away, but just never put hot leftovers in plastic. Never, ever heat anything up in the microwave in plastic. Yeah. If you buy some kind of ready-made meal, first of all, why are you doing that? Eat real food. Secondly, it freaks me out. Like when you buy stuff on the road.
It's a black plastic.
Yeah. And then when you heat it up in the microwave, the plastic, I've seen it literally melt before.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I guess it's okay. Or they wouldn't have put it.
That's not okay.
Out for sale. It's not okay. Okay. All right.
The government safety limits are way above the health limits, what they should be. And the reason for that is scientists like myself, we do these studies, they're called toxicology studies. We look to see how toxic something is. And how do we do that? Well, we grow cells in a dish. And by the way, it's a plastic dish. So the cells, if they don't survive in plastic, they die. And then the cells that survive in plastics are already kind of resistant to plastic. So that's a little strange. But number two, when you put those chemicals like BPA in those plastic dishes, they don't kill the cells like normal toxins. Like if you put cyanide in there, it's very toxic. It kills the cells. The cells die. So scientists say, oh my gosh, you want very low levels of cyanide in your food.
100%.
And that's a good thing. But if you put BPA or phthalates or oxybenzone, which is found in a lot of sunscreens, avoid that too. This is in my book. But if you're putting these estrogen chemicals in there, it doesn't really kill the cells until you get a really high level. And that doesn't mean it's not toxic. It still screws up your hormones, still screws up your mental health, all kinds of health problems. But scientists will say, no, it's not toxic, so it's okay. So the government sets up safety limits that are up here that basically say like, oh, it's causing cancer now or it's killing cells now. But in my opinion, that safety limit is a lot lower. So you want to be more cautious with plastic foods like that, especially black plastic. That's made from electrical wires. That's literally recycled electrical wires. That's where they get those black plastics from.
I did not know that. That's gross.
It's gross. Yeah.
And I just finished reading a book about this by another author that even glyphosate,
Yeah.
The way they study it, when you're doing toxicology testing, you're looking at things like LD50, like how much does it take of this to kill 50% of the test population? But when you're talking about BPA, BPS, the phthalates, all these plastic estrogenic things, they're not toxins like that. They're not going to kill you abruptly. You could eat the container. You could eat the Tupperware bowl. It wouldn't kill you. Mm-hmm. It disrupts your hormones. Mm-hmm. And so it worsens your health. It weakens your resiliency.
Right.
And so that's why they can say, well, no research has ever shown that. Well, that's because no research has ever been done properly. They're doing toxicology studies on this stuff, but nobody's ever claimed that this stuff was toxic, that it'll kill you. We're saying that it disrupts your hormones. And so it's a different style of research you have to do to even tease that out, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it takes a lot more years, too. It's a bigger scale, usually. And for postmenopausal women, for example, they know how important it is to have good, optimized levels of hormones. You know, for men that have extremely low testosterone, they know how life-changing it can be to reverse that and get your testosterone up. It's unbelievable. Don't underestimate your hormones and how much of, you know, an impact they have on your overall health. And again, these plastics are doing that. And so the number one thing we talked about already is heat. You don't want to be heating this stuff up. Another thing is oils in plastic. I'm very concerned about, because oils are more similar to these estrogen chemicals. Like, for example, if you have a lot of butter and you put it in a glass of water, it floats on the water, right? If it's liquid, if you heat it up, oil floats on water, butter floats on water, testosterone floats on water, estrogen floats on water. Testosterone, estrogen, they're sex hormones. They're made from cholesterol. They're like butter. They float on water. So if you've got oil in plastic, there's a lot more leaching. So I don't like
the oil versus water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes perfect sense, because the plastics are a hydrocarbon. And oils are hydrogen and carbon. That's literally what they're made of. And so the oil is much more likely to leach out the phthalates
exactly
than just water.
So don't cheat as much. Like, if you're buying oils, get good quality fruit oils like avocado oil, olive oil, right? Those are good. Preferably go with lard and things like that. Don't be afraid of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's nonsense that to say that's bad and our ancestors were having it for thousands of years is kind of silly. But, you know, if you're getting these oils, again, really pay attention, glass bottles. And a lot of research on oils is done with plastics, and then other studies are done with glass, and scientists aren't distinguishing that. So there's a lot of confusion in that whole area. But again, for your own safety and your health.
So if you're going to buy olive oil, avocado, coconut oil, get it in glass. What about the little tin cans that you can get the olive oil in? Is it lined with BPA? I don't know if it is or not. I suspect
I don't know.
It might not be, because it's a thicker gauge of metal, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the Coca-Cola cans, it's such a thin layer of aluminum.
Yeah.
They have to put the plastic inside to kind of give it an extra layer of being waterproof.
Check the comments. I don't know. Somebody probably knows, you know?
Yeah. If you guys know, put it in the comments. I want to ask you, I want to go back to the coffee cups. So we all have seen and had coffee in the little paper cups, right? But the book I was just reading talked about this. It's like, okay, so you think that paper is waterproof? Fold up a paper towel and pour some coffee in that. That's not going to work, right? The reason that paper cups hold liquid is because they are lined with plastic. Am I right?
Exactly.
So even if you're drinking out of a paper cup, that's still a plastic cup. If you're using a paper plate, like at a picnic or a family reunion, could you just take a paper towel and put your food on it and it wouldn't absorb through? That paper plate is coated with plastic. Mm-hmm. And so if you put hot food on a paper plate or hot liquids in a paper cup, you're putting it in plastic, and you're right back to the thing that Dr. Jay's talking about.
Especially bowls. You know, a lot of people putting hot things in those
put paper your chili
bowls.
In a paper bowl.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going camping, bring your own bowls. It's, again, better for the environment, less waste. You know, we do this, Lydia and I, when we're turkey hunting, right? In fact, I even bring a stainless steel, it's like a milk container, and it's stainless steel, and it's got a spigot on it. And then I just like fill that up at home with my water filter, and then I can travel around and just use a canteen, you know, like a stainless steel canteen.
Oh, we had a question about Edward says, what about coffee filters and tea bags?
They're good.
They're fine. Yeah. And actually, the filter paper is the same exact filter paper that you use in the lab.
Yeah.
It's the same that when you're filtering a distillate or something, that's the same exact stuff you use. Now, the tea bag itself is fine, except there are some that are made of plastic, but that's rare. Yeah. But you got to remember that there's a little connector at the top. And unless it's a metal staple, that could be plastic
as well.
And then obviously the little tab that's got the little brand on it, 100%, that's got a plastic coating on it. So don't let that fall in your tea.
Yeah, and even with coffee, a suggestion that I've come across and that I've taken up myself, I like cold press coffee, but I like it hot. It actually tastes really different. Go to Starbucks and ask for hot press, where they actually have cold press coffee and they heat it up, or just make it at home, right? You can make cold brew in a glass jar. Mm-hmm. You can heat it up every day in the microwave really quick.
And, we do that.
That's what I do at my house and my wife.
It's nice.
There's no plastic involved.
Angelic Annihilator says, new study shows microplastics in human blood. Mm. Is there any way to detox it from our body?
Mm. Sauna. Yeah. Use a sauna. It accelerates. It heats up your body. Infrared, especially, you're heating up the inside of your body. And you accelerate a lot of that clearance. Yeah, and then, of course, stop pumping it into your body, right? Like a lot of people, they do the sauna, but then they continue to pump it into their body by like heating up plastics and all these other sources. And by the way, a lot of personal care products have phthalates. So like,
let's talk about that.
The big two, are personal care products and foods, right? And liquids in plastics. That's where you really want to pay attention to these.
And so what personal care products are notorious for containing methylparabens, the phthalates. What are the, so I know sunscreen, one more reason not to use sunscreen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after I published my book, they came out with a sunscreen study. And by the way, the oxybenzone is the chemical. If you're going to look it up, look on your sunscreen, go get it, pause this video, look it up, look at your label, because zinc sunscreen is fine. If you're using zinc sunscreen, sure, whatever. But oxybenzone, you don't want that. Acts like estrogen. They did a study again after I published my book, unfortunately, and they did one application of sunscreen. 7 days later, it was above the government's own safety limits in people's blood.
Still in the blood. 7 days later.
And this was just like last year, you know what I mean? And CNN reported on it. All these media sources report on it because it's been legal for 30, 40, 50 years. I don't know. It's been legal for ages. And now they finally did the study. I mean, come on. And that's the problem with a lot of this stuff is they're not doing long-term studies. They haven't even done any studies sometimes. They just assume these chemicals are safe because the toxicology looks really good. It doesn't kill itself. So be careful with the sunscreen chemicals, the oxybenzone. And then anytime you see the word fragrance and it's a cheap personal care product, these companies are legally allowed to put a lot of these estrogen chemicals in there, these fake estrogen chemicals, these petroleum chemicals. Again, petroleum, right? It's cheap. So they can buy
it's made of oil, guys. It's made of literal oil, black gold, Texas tea. Okay. And so the sunscreens, most sunscreens, unless it's a zinc oxide, that's the one that's the thick and white that you see people put the white stripe on their nose. That's okay. Yeah. But I'm still reading the ingredients because that's just how I am, because there's probably some oxybenzone
sometimes
in there as well. But just the sunscreen that you spray on your kids and slather on their skin, look for oxybenzone. If it's got it in there, what else should they look for?
Well, they have one called 4-methylbenzylene camphor if you want to get really nuanced, and you don't want that in there either. But again, like you said, if you can read the ingredients, it's like coconut oil and some other stuff, that's fine, right? If it's zinc sunscreen. But the big one that's really common in America, oxybenzone. And by the way, illegal in a lot of countries.
A lot of these
chemicals are, these parabens and things, illegal. Even China has stricter regulations. I talk about this in my book. They have strict regulations than America on a lot of these estrogen chemicals.
That's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. The European Union, they're very aware of this. And many of the sunscreens that you happily slather on your young children every day are literally illegal in the European Union. If that same company tried to sell them there, they would be fined civilly, if not criminally, for selling those in the European Union. So really, you've got to read the ingredients of everything that you put in your body for sure, but also if you put on your body. Yeah. So you have the stratum corneum on your skin, which makes you waterproof. That's why you're not an amphibian, right? But back to the petrochemicals, the hydrocarbons, they can actually go through the stratum corneum and get into your tissue and into your bloodstream. And that's how they did the study. 7 days after one application of sunscreen, the children's blood levels of the cancer causing thing was still above the FDA's own safety
again,
limits.
I already said before, the government safety limit's way up here. It's way too high as it is. Like, you don't even want to be close to that government safety limit.
Right, right. Because they've done all the studies inappropriately.
Yeah, the toxicology study. So, you know, when you're up here, and we were talking before we got on here too about some of the plastic environments that a lot of these kids are living in. They did a study in California at a daycare, and they found the air quality was above the government's own safety limits. Again, cancer-causing levels just from the air they're breathing in. Because
so hold on, wait a minute. You're saying like at the McDonald's play castle.
Yeah.
That inside those plastic gerbil tubes that the kids stay in for hours at a time while the parents play on their cell phone.
Exactly.
The air quality inside those tubes, the phthalates are actually coming out of the plastic.
Yep.
Just like, you know, have any of you guys ever had new carpet put in your house? Hmm. And then for weeks, the whole house has that weird smell. Mm-hmm. That's probably phthalates, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of the carpet.
And it's a little attractive to a lot of people, right? Like the new car smell. People like that smell when it's real strong because it triggers some kind of ancient thing with us. It smells just like estrogen. So we have kind of like an attraction response that's a little perverted, but it's not something we can control. We just like that new car smell. So you get a new car, flush that air out, open those windows when you first are driving around, you know, get those phthalates out of there, because that concentrated phthalate air is easy to flush out, but your car's sitting out in 100 degrees and you keep those windows down, you jump in there and all you do is turn the air conditioning. You're just pushing those phthalates around, you're circling inside your car. It's not ideal.
And remember, the higher the temperature, the more leaching, right? And that goes for your car as well. And so if you take your kid to one of these play castle things, and the 100 degree sun is shining on that inside of that tube, I would love to get Dr. J in there with his meter and just check the phthalate levels in the air. And it would probably set off a red alert, and then he would be ejected from the play castle because he'd be bad for business. What about the K-cups for Keurig coffee makers? Those are made of plastic. Are they a safe plastic?
That I'm not sure. I'm always nervous about it. You know, now they make these hemp more environmentally friendly versions. That's what I try and do when I use the K-cups. But I'm not sure, honestly. I'm not totally
need to
sure.
Check on that. Give me an update. I'll give you guys an update as soon as he checks on that. I've got several questions. Keep the questions coming, guys. I'm writing them down when I see a good one. Somebody has a question, not plastic, but non-stick cookware. Are you on top of that?
Yeah, they don't have plastics in those. You're safe from that. They do have some chemicals that can cause cancer if you get them at a high enough level, but I'm not that nervous about them. I don't use them personally, just so you know, because it's like, well, I don't need to use them, so I have plenty of alternatives that are good. So the chemical in there is not, say, it's not healthy for you, but it's not plastic. It's not going to activate your hormones and mess up your hormones.
Yeah, but I want all you guys to after this live is over, do an internet search for Teflon molecule. I want you to look at the Teflon molecule and look at the different atoms in a Teflon molecule and see if you see one that gives you some concern. I think you will.
Well, and
I'm not going to say it out loud, but I just want you to Google Teflon molecule and look at the different atoms.
Well, they have these PFAS, right? These polyfluorinated chemicals that are also illegal in Europe. And in America, they use them all the time. And again, anytime something is illegal in Europe, I'm always like, it's on my radar as probably problematic.
Yeah, because, you know, I've been to Europe several times, and those people aren't dumb. They're fairly intelligent people. And so if a large group of intelligent people has said, you know what, we're going to outlaw that.
It's a good start. It's a good start to be a little bit hesitant to be putting it on all our
When you think about how the current American government works, basically you've got legislators and senators, and they have about 6 lobbyists per legislator, and the lobbyists are paid way more than the legislators, and the lobbyist used to be a legislator and now he works for the lobbying company who works for a big chemical factory. I wonder if that's how some of this stuff is still legal in the U.S. when it's been outlawed for literally decades in some cases. Like 20 years ago it was outlawed, and in the U.K., in the EU, and in Australia and New Zealand, they're like, oh, hell no, you're not going to have any of that around food. You're not going to have that around kids. In America, they're like, well, the LD50 is very, I mean, it's very, it's fine. It's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend. I have a
little
friend,
worrisome.
I have a friend out in Washington. His name is Michael Skinner, Dr. Michael Skinner. He gave a talk over in Europe about a chemical that's really problematic for your health. It's estrogenic. They made it illegal in Europe 2 weeks later after he gave the talk. That talk was about 5 years ago. Totally legal still here in America. Why? Because of a lot of this financial interest in the government and how difficult it is to do these things. But over in Europe, again, they're pretty quick. When they see the data on this sort of thing, they move on it.
Yeah. What about deodorants?
I'm careful about aluminum because, you know, when I was doing my PhD actually in Boston University, I asked a bunch of scientists that work on metals, inorganic chemists, like, what about deodorants? What about these aluminums, which is not estrogenic, but, you know, what about aluminum itself? And they said, they laughed at me. They said, no, it's an inert metal and it's not going to go through your skin. Well, they finally did a study on aluminum and they showed that that leaches into your blood a little bit. Now it's very, it's minor, but if your genetics are such that you don't clear metals very well, it can build up in your body, can mess with your brain. There's links to Alzheimer's. There's all kinds of risks. So yeah. I'm a little bit hesitant about aluminum. I prefer magnesium because most of the deodorants don't work that well, to be honest, the glycerol ones. But the magnesium ones work really well for me. But going back to the estrogens, a lot of these deodorants have fragrances that are full of parabens, full of phthalates. And again, they don't have to put on the label. So I do pay attention to what deodorant I get. I get it from a trustworthy company. I make sure it's got magnesium. Again, that's a little bit aside from the topic we're talking about, but that's what I do.
Yep. Oh, two good questions. So Mamar says, is silicone a good option?
Yeah, silicone's great.
100%.
I try and get stuff that doesn't have a bunch of dyes in it, like red spatulas or something. But even those are probably pretty safe. Again, silicone is amazing. It's very good.
Now, let's talk about something that's near and dear to every carnivore's heart. Sous vide.
Sous vide, exactly.
Because when I first saw somebody sous vide something at some conference, I was like, they're literally cooking in a plastic bag.
I know.
I had just read your book like 10 minutes before, and I was like, I think I don't want any of that. Thanks a lot. But so how are we going to sous vide?
You can sous vide because they sell, there's a bunch of companies now, actually. They sell silicone Ziploc bags.
Yep.
Look them up. Yep. Find them. There's Stasher is one of the brands. They're phenomenal. Yep. You can heat them up. They're not going to leach a bunch of estrogen in them. And I've seen people in crock pots, like at our church, they put plastic saran wrap and then they put chili in there and stuff and heat it for like 24 hours. It just like boggles my mind.
Unbelievable.
That people are heating plastics like that.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't even need to. It's just like laziness because they don't want to clean the crock pot.
Right.
But good question. Sous vide. Go ahead and sous vide. It's a great technique.
Also, you can sous vide in glass. Okay. There are YouTube videos. You can use like a glass pint jar. And what you do is fill the jar up, you put the meat in, and then fill the jar up with oil. Put the lid on, and then put that in the water, and that'll allow the heat to transfer because it's liquid to glass to liquid. But if you just put your meat in the jar with no liquid, it's not going to work. But you can actually sous vide in glass as well. Somebody said, Donna said, is it true that fibromyalgia may be caused by plastic bottles? My doctor believes this is how I got it so bad from Desert Storm.
Could be if you got microplastics building up in your blood. And by the way, I do consulting for the Special Forces, and they've sent me photos, some of their leaders in the Special Forces, because they're familiar with my work. They sent me photos of like these giant plastic, these piles of plastic bottles they're shipping over there. And this is like in the desert where it's 110 degrees.
In the sunlight all day.
Yeah, and they're just cringing. I'm cringing.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a lot of extra phthalates from that kind of heat, plus the microplastics, plus you're shifting a lot of this stuff. Like you got them in these crates and they're moving them around. There's a lot more microplastics coming in there. So definitely an option. It makes me nervous. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about plastic bottles? If someone is currently, you know, they buy a case of plastic bottle water every week, what is the alternative? What would you recommend they do?
Yeah. I mean, you got to filter it. Like I filter it myself at home. You got to filter your own drinking water, I think, to be fully optimized here.
How do you filter yours?
I have a stainless steel reverse osmosis machine. Yeah. It even has a stain. The company literally made, and you can look on my AJ Consulting Company website that
links in the show notes.
Yep. Dr. Barry's linking it for me. So I really appreciate this. And it's actually got, the company literally developed a stainless steel tube. It's like one of those braided tubes that's got silicone on the inside, but they tried doing silicone, but it like blows up like with the balloon and with the pressure. So they made a stainless steel with silicone in it. So they got even the plastic, they don't even have plastic tubing.
Nice.
So the reverse osmosis that I use has four stages, pulls everything out, and then it remineralizes it. Nice. So that's how I do it. But there's a lot of good options, you know, with the water filtration.
Yeah,
even just like Brita filters and stuff, they have activated charcoal. They call it carbon, but they have activated charcoal. That gets rid of all those estrogen chemicals.
So even a cheap Brita filter is going to get rid of a lot of the plastics. And what about the microplastics and nanoplastics?
It gets it out, yeah.
Nice.
The problem is, of course, a lot of people, they filter it and then they store it back in plastics and they're heating it up and their coffee and all this kind of thing. So don't put it back in, like get a glass, even if you have a plastic pitcher, get it out of that plastic pitcher and put it in a glass pitcher or something like that if you're going long term with it. But yeah, the Brita filters and all of these other brands,
excellent,
they're great.
Excellent. We use reverse osmosis here, but we do have, I think some of the lines going in, to and from are plastic.
And that's okay.
It's but a they're in temperature.
Yeah.
Right.
And what, it's not sitting in there for 2 years.
Exactly. You know, right. Exactly. Holly Tracy says, my husband says I spend more time with you than him. Thanks for the super chat, Holly. Mommy does keto, says polyethylene vinyl acetate reusable bags. Yay or nay?
What's the question? So polyethylene vinyl acetate. Yep. Polyethylene, I'm always nervous about because the real word is polyethylene terephthalate. What's the key word there? Of course,
phthalates.
And what if people told you about those? Oh, it's okay. They don't leach. Well, what's happened with BPA? They told us it doesn't leach. Of course, it leaches. The same thing was with these.
But for how many decades did everybody in America believe that it didn't leach?
Exactly.
Two or three decades, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But now we know.
Scientists would literally laugh at you. They would literally laugh and tell you that you're a moron if you thought these things leached. And now it's become so obvious that you can't even deny it. And that's happened with a lot of things, you know, but I'm always erring on the safe side with these plastics.
Especially. I think Berkey filters. They probably get it out
they're
too.
Stainless.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really nice. That's a good alternative. Let's see.
I personally have one of those.
Somebody said, what about plastic eyeglasses? Like I'm hoping there's a tortoiseshell, but
yeah, you're okay there. I don't think there's.
It's such a small area of contact.
Yeah.
Right. What you worry about is heat, and we got body temperature here, but it's such a small, maybe 2 square centimeters of contact.
Exactly.
What about? I read a study where kids playing on carpet.
Yeah.
Get tons of microplastics.
Yeah, it depends on the carpet, right? So the cheaper carpets, ironically, the nylon carpets are actually better because they don't leach plastic. Whereas
they used to be poor.
And of course, if you're really rich, you can get these wool carpets, but then they have the pilling and all that, and you have to vacuum them a lot more. But yeah, the carpets, especially new carpet, I'm nervous. Especially heat, I'm nervous. If you have new carpet, get one of those, you know, like cleaners and really clean it a couple of extra times, really try and remove some of that loose thallus.
And I think get a new house, build a new house, build a new addition.
Yeah.
That needs to be aired out for
at least a couple weeks.
Weeks. Crusader General says, at what point will the AMA admit that statins are a scam? Ever? Crusader General, they're never going to admit that it was a scam. Pfizer and the other statin manufacturers are never going to come out and admit and say, oh, we knew all along that they were bad for you and that they didn't actually protect you. They're never going to reveal the research that they've done, the studies that they've done that show 100%.
It might come out in 2070.
Well, the only way it's ever going to, maybe 2070, but the only way it's ever going to come out is if some young, hungry assistant district attorney decides to file a class action lawsuit and then has the power of discovery and says, we want all your studies, including the ones you did not publish. We want all your email threads. That's when we as citizens will discover the truth. What will happen is another 5 or 10 years, the AMA will come out and say, oh, there's new research that shows that statins aren't really that effective. And, you know, there might be some problem with them raising your blood sugar and lowering your testosterone. So we want you to just use Repatha and Praluent. We don't want you to use the statins anymore.
They're off patent.
That's right. They're all off patent. They've already made their billions. But then the AMA, what's going to happen, Crusader General, is they're going to try to come off looking like the hero. Like, oh, we warned you several times and you guys just didn't listen. But now we're telling you officially, don't take statins anymore. they may not be good for you. We just discovered this. That's exactly how that'll happen.
Well, that's what we've seen like the last couple of years with this whole idea of like, oh, we're going to release this data in 2070. You know, they're not going to circle back and release any of this data.
Everybody will be dead. Nobody will know. We'll all be in the grave.
This is frustrating.
Let's see what else we got. Is it okay to use spring water in plastic bottles as long as it is not heated?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And so, and I think that here's the problem with plastic bottles. And I actually posted a picture of this on my Facebook page years ago, is you don't know where those plastic bottles on that pallet have been, right? Mm-hmm. And I took the picture was there was a pallet of water bottles sitting outside of a convenience store in the sun, right? And I'm like, you couldn't pay me to drink that water. I don't care how big the sale is. I'm not going to buy that water. And so you don't know how many months the water's been in that plastic bottle. You don't know if that bottle was even rinsed out after it was produced. You don't know how many hours that pallet of water bottles set in the sun. And so I think probably if you're using empty plastic bottles to fill up with spring water and you're keeping it at room temperature or lower, that's probably okay.
Yeah, but if you live next to a spring and you can use glass or something like that, I would just say, just go there.
Use metal.
Then you don't have to worry about the heat and all this other stuff.
Trapper says, what about the plastic known as veg caps? Do you know what that is? Veg caps?
Yeah, he's probably talking about the vegetable, like the supplements, the supplement capsules. Sometimes they do have phthalates. They've actually done studies and they flagged a lot of them of having phthalates in the supplement caps. But the trustworthy companies usually don't, and that's not that common. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Got it. Jennifer wants to know, she's very worried, but what about hairspray?
Depends on the company. The personal care products, it's always very company dependent. Yeah.
Get his book. You've got lists of the red flashing warning sign.
Yeah. I have three plans. I have like a gold plan that says, if you want to really avoid all the estrogens, follow the gold plan. I have a silver plan. I have a bronze plan. If you're in college, you can't afford all this, like removing your carpet or whatever kind of crazy thing. I have different tiers, but again, everybody should check ingredient labels, unfortunately. It's kind of just the burden of living in a modern society.
Here's a good common sense question. Teresa went to a Tupperware party, bought two sets of plastic glasses. Is it safe for her to use those as long as it's ice liquid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. So don't throw them away, Teresa. It's fine. Just never put hot liquids in them. What about, is it safe to wash those in the dishwasher?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You're washing those phthalates down the drain. Unfortunately, they did a study on polar bears. They tested 11 polar bears in northern Alaska, middle of nowhere. All of them had phthalates and parabens in their fat cells.
Yeah.
And these things store up in your fat cells. So don't think that, if you get rid of plastics, you're immediately going to have like some giant epiphany in your health. I've had people double their testosterone in 6 weeks by cleaning up their drinking water and their personal care products. Those two things double. Doesn't always happen because some people have more fat cells and it takes longer for their body to clear them or whatever. And some people cheat a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like some people are using sunscreen or something more often or whatever. But you can do a lot of dramatic things to improve your health pretty quickly. But again, be a little bit patient because your hormones take time to get back online. Sometimes you disrupt them permanently. Sometimes they never get back online. You have to go with hormone replacement therapy and that's fine. Do what you need to do because your health is super important to optimize, not just kind of be average and okay. You want to optimize your health. Always be thinking optimally.
Absolutely. That's the goal of everybody, I hope, watching my channel, is not just to limp by, but to optimize your health. And this is one of the things you can do to take your health even to the next level. Catherine says, is water from cans okay, like St. Croix?
Yeah, I avoid them. I mean, I make my own. I do my own CO2 bubbling. What are those units called? What I'm talking about? You push a little button that's got a little CO2 canister in there. I put some essential oils. I usually put like some citrus essential oil, a little bit of stevia.
SodaStream.
SodaStream. Exactly. That's the main brand.
So the SodaStream plastic bottles, as long as you don't heat them.
Exactly. It's fine after I published my book, they even came out with a SodaStream that doesn't even have plastic. It's a stainless steel.
Yep. I saw that.
But I mean, honestly, the one I bought was a long time ago. Mine is plastic. Again, you're pumping some CO2 in there. You're pouring it in a glass. It's fine.
Yeah. Because you're going to put it in the fridge.
I keep it cold.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to put that in the oven, that's no bueno. Right. Now, Everett brings up a very, and this keeps me up at night worrying about this. Everett says, what about CPAP machines and plastic?
Uh-huh.
And so what I worry about is every hospitalized patient, they're basically cocooned in plastic. Plastic is put in their body. They're wrapped in plastic. They're fed out of plastic. Like literally in the hospital setting or a healthcare setting, every single thing is plastic.
Yeah. Scientists have raised red flags on this. My suggestion, if you use a CPAP, you got to get a sauna. You just got to bite the bullet, get a home sauna, get access to a gym that has a sauna, sweat some of these chemicals. They've done studies. They call them BUS studies, if you want to look them up. Blood, urine, and sweat. BUS, BUS. And they find that they check people's urine, and they say, well, there's a little bit of phthalates, a little bit of parabens, whatever, a little bit of some of these chemicals. And then they check people's, the same people, they check their sweat. It's full of these chemicals. There's way more in your sweat. You sweat them out super rapidly. That's one of the benefits of saunas, the one of the many benefits. And then keep working to try and, like, you know, like work on your exercise with nose breathing. Like go for long walks, nose breathing the entire time. Be very, you know, like do other strategies to try and get off the CPAP. Some people need like nasal reconstruction surgeries and things like that.
Yeah. Everett, like, I've got a video about sleep apnea on this channel. But 80 to 90% of people with sleep apnea, once they start eating a proper human diet and they get their insulin back to a normal level and all their other levels normalized and they lose some weight, fatty tongue is actually, it's been documented on MRI. If you are obese, severely obese, you probably have fatty liver, fatty pancreas, and fatty tongue. And that's why most people, not everyone, but most people, when they lose enough weight, the fatty tongue and the fatty neck goes away and they can put their CPAP on eBay and sell it. They don't need it anymore, but that doesn't happen for everybody.
And it takes time.
And it takes time. That's right, Everett. But you can get started today watching my videos and hopefully get rid of your sleep apnea so that you don't even have to worry about this. But it's a big deal. If somebody comes home from the hospital and they've got home health, every single thing they use on that person, put in that person, on that person is plastic.
Right.
And it's really worrisome, but currently there's no other option. And you were talking about sauna. And now, guys, it's just the sweating. Mm-hmm. OK, mm-hmm. There's nothing magical about a sauna. You don't have to go and spend a few thousand bucks and get a sauna put in your house. You can do redneck sauna like me, which is in the middle of the summer. Go out and get inside your black pickup truck with the windows up with the motor off and sit there for 5 or 10 minutes. That's the best sauna in the world. Or the other redneck sauna is to go up in the attic in the summer and just sit up there for 5 or 10 minutes, and you'll sweat out about a quart, and that will get a lot of the phthalates out of your system.
Yeah. The same thing. I mean, otherwise, or put on a bunch of extra clothing, put on some rain gear, go out and go for a jog or something like that. Yeah, just find a way to sweat. It's not that challenging.
You just have to sweat. So
I would recommend setting a timer, get at least 10 minutes. That's
10 minutes.
The minimum effective dose in a lot of the studies I've seen, 3 times a week, 10 minutes. At least 10 minutes, at least 3 times a week.
That's what I would go for. So go up in the attic 3 times a week, 10 minutes of a session, and just sit there and just sweat.
You don't have asbestos in your attic.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah. Wear your respirator while you're up there just in case, right? Thanks, Foxy, for sending my video to your son. Let's see if we've got any other good questions. I like that sauna that Dr. Barry's talking about. Yeah, it's free. Just go up in the attic, man. Just sit there. It's hot as a mofo up there. Let's see. What else do we have here? Will a wood sauna work?
For sure.
Okay. For sure. Gotcha. Mary Lou says coffee machines, automatic drip. I think they're fine, Mary Lou. They're all metal, right?
Depends on the coffee machine.
Yeah, anything that's metal is totally fine. And I do worry a little about aluminum.
Yeah, me too.
But not as much as I worry about plastics. Do you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah.
I do DNA consulting, and I look at people's genes, and I look at genetic risks for how does your liver detox, you know, these heavy metals, how does your brain get rid of heavy metals? There's a number of genes, because some people are high risk. And I tell them, like, don't cook with aluminum foil. Don't use aluminum deodorant. It's not worth it. Other people, I don't tell them that because I don't really care that much, because they have good genetics for clearing heavy metals. It comes from thousands of years ago. You know, we come from these tribes of people that lived in these areas. We didn't fly around the world, and, you know, we didn't have such a mixed, diverse genetic background thousands of years ago. And some tribes in some parts of the world, they just lived in an area where they didn't have exposures to heavy metals. So their body just kind of got lazy, and their genetics aren't very good at clearing these heavy metals. Other people, their bodies are terrible, you know, they're amazing at clearing heavy metals. So there's a real spectrum here, and you can tell by looking at people's genetics. But if you're not sure, just err on the safe side, right? Don't cook with aluminum foil all the time. Yep. Don't use deodorant all the time. Again, but I think plastics are a bigger priority to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think that's
the
number one thing.
Yeah.
So P. Williams says, didn't you tell us that CO2 is not good for us? P. Williams, your lungs are full of CO2 right now. Every time you breathe out, you're breathing out CO2. You can use carbon dioxide.
Tell people CO2 is bad.
No. CO2 is part of the circle of life, my friends. Okay, let's break this down. We're about to give you the simple steps. Okay, so this person has watched this video with me and you, and they are thoroughly freaked out. Like, oh, great. Okay, I might as well just go shoot myself in the head because everything in my kitchen is plastic. So what are the main steps, the main rules that somebody can, starting in the morning with breakfast, never do the following things again, and that's going to greatly decrease your plastic exposure?
Yeah. Clean up your kitchen. Get rid of those oils that are in plastic. Always get glass with your oils. Don't heat up plastics. Don't heat up anything in plastic. And don't store anything long-term liquid in plastic either, long-term. Overhaul your personal care products. It's worth it. There's plenty of good, inexpensive personal care products.
Native's good, right?
What's that?
Native, that the brand.
Yeah, Native's great.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I use.
And get, you know, if you don't know, just get fragrance-free. If you want to err on the safe side, go fragrance-free. It's going to be a lot better than a lot of the fragrances that are out there that are in these cheap personal care products. Those are really the two main categories. You know, again, liquids and plastics, it's not that complicated, but start paying attention around your house. And as you grow and develop and you do, you know, like you do modifications in your house or whatever, don't put a bunch of plastic junk in there, you know, like for your kids, don't let them chew on plastic toys.
So what about where? Like, so the plastic toys that we get that, you know, every kid's going to put in their mouth.
So much plastic around people's house. Yeah. Little children, like my one-year-old Jack, he's going to chew on everything. So what do we have in our house? We have a lot of wooden toys. We don't have a ton of toys. They don't need that many toys. They can use their imagination. It's probably better for their brain to develop their imagination.
Go out
and
play,
get outside.
Play in the dirt.
Use Ken's like redneck sauna with your kids too. Like get them outside when it's hot outside.
100%. Get some sunlight and let them sweat. And that way, if they are being exposed to plastics, they're going to sweat some of the phthalates out. So next, make it your rule starting tomorrow. Never hot liquids or hot food in a plastic container. And remember that paper plates, paper bowls, and paper cups are plastic. They're not just paper. They have a plastic lining. Never put hot liquids in. Now, if you're going to put some liquid in there with ice in a paper cup, that's probably okay.
Yep.
Right? I would rinse the cup out because I would suspect that there's thousands of particles of microplastics just sitting around in the corners. So rinse it out and then put an ice liquid in there. It's probably not a big deal, but never put hot coffee, hot tea in a paper cup because it's actually a plastic cup. What else?
Yeah, again, just awareness, right? Just be aware of plastic in your environment. As you get new things, trying to replace it with glass and stainless. But take it as like a real priority, as a real emergency to get rid of those liquids that are in plastics that you're heating. And to overhaul your personal care product. We talked about sunscreen also. Get rid of that cheap sunscreen, unfortunately. I know it's expensive to get the good stuff with the zinc and the ingredients that you can actually read. I also wear sun shirts that are like real breathable and they cover me. I even wear sun gloves when I'm out fishing and a sun buff. I mean, I go crazy. But
because you don't get a tan much, do you?
I never get tan.
Yeah, you don't get a tan.
It's not going to happen.
Not in your genetics. And used to, I couldn't tan at all. But now, since I've been carnivore, I can actually get a pretty decent tan now, but your genetics, it's just not going to happen.
I get a little bit, but I'm in Minnesota, so this time of year, it's springtime, it's turkey hunting.
He doesn't tan. Yeah, okay. His daughter just vetoed that. She's like, no.
Yeah.
No, he's white and red. That's his colors.
But yeah, basically keep it simple. Like, don't feel overwhelmed. I know a lot of people feel overwhelmed when we start talking about how to avoid these estrogen chemicals. Keep it really simple. Keep it with the liquids that are heated up.
Yeah. And I think the biggest exposure is what goes in your mouth.
Yeah.
Right. Or you breathe it in, because remember earlier I was talking about the stratum corneum. Now you can absorb some through your skin, but the vast majority of what you're going to absorb is inside of your gut because you don't have a protective layer there. And then inside your lungs, you also don't have a protective layer. So I think spend the majority of your concern. Don't worry about everything because you can't fix everything. But the biggest concern is what you put in your mouth and what you breathe into your lungs, because you don't have a protective layer there. And then with the personal care stuff, stop using sunscreen, okay? Just get rid of the vegetable seed oils, and 3 to 6 months later, you're going to be able to tolerate a lot more sun. Sun does not cause cancer. I've got a video about that on this channel. Sunscreen might actually cause cancer, but it's also going to disrupt your hormones as well, especially if it has the ingredients that Dr. J is talking about.
It's good, man.
That's it, man. Appreciate it. All right, guys. Thanks. If you know anybody who you think this video would help, please share this with them. You're welcome to share this on social media, because I guarantee you the majority of your friends and family have no idea of any of this. They don't know this stuff. And so if you alert them to this, they can start taking precautions tomorrow, or they can just keep suffering in ignorance because you didn't share this video. So consider sharing this video. I've got a link to Dr. J's book, Estrogeneration, which has the gold, the silver, and the bronze plan, depending on your current financial status, how much money you're willing to spend to really deplasticize your life. And I've read it. I got a copy. I need you to sign that while you're here. I'd highly recommend his book. It's probably one of the top 10 books on my recommended book list.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for joining us. Yep. And I'll see you guys soon. Thanks for the super chats.